How are you, Dick?
Hey, boys, how you doing? You guys a little stressed out right now?
Yeah, yeah. A little.
We're freaking, buddy.
Yeah. It started well.
It did start well. I turned it on, and it was about I turned it on the 13th minute, and I was like, wait a second, am I reading that score right? 1-0 Australia. This is fantastic. And then not so much after that.
Don't worry, we were as shocked as you as well when we went 1-0 up, but yeah, it's 2-1 now. But yesterday, your side 1-1 against the Welsh. What's been the response to that over there?
Well, I think the response is disappointment more than it is, hey, we got a point. And I think it's just kind of how the game went. I mean, if it was one of those games where Wales dominated 70% of the game and then we were able to, score a late goal to get a draw, I think that would have felt a lot better than it did. But, a penalty in the box, just really not a smart decision. Giving Gareth Bale their opportunity for the penalty kick to tie things up when the U.S. was really attacking in the first half. They played a very, very solid first half of soccer, got the goal by Mia, and then just really kind of impotent in the second half. I mean, a little conservative, not nearly as many attacking opportunities in the second half, and then you get that one mistake by a young team. I mean, this is, I think, the second youngest team, if not the youngest team in all the World Cup. So there's going to be some growing pains here. Now you have to hope that you stay close to England and then put up a good showing against Iran. Not just a win. You're going to have to put up a 2-3 goal win so you can get that goal differential over Wales to get that tiebreaker.
Dick, what's the expectation like from your team? We're just sitting here before the start of kickoff, and we're talking about what are we okay with Australia? Obviously, a draw would be amazing against the French, but are we okay if we lose 1-0, 2-0? What's the expectation from the fans in the States with your team?
Well, I think the expectation is to get out of the group stage because you're in a group that you can do that. I mean, if you were in a group of death where you had two elite teams and you really had to pull off a massive upset, I think people would realize, hey, just, go win a game, maybe get a draw. But, I mean, winning, getting out of the group stage would be gravy. But that's not the situation here. You're with one elite team in England, and then the second spot is wide open, and you should have an easy win as well. So that's why I think this draw was so disappointing, because I think a lot of people thought, hey, they'd get two wins and advance to the group stage easily. Now they're going to have to fight and do it via a tiebreaker. And then even then, you're matched up. If you do get out of group stage, you have a doable game in the round of 16 to get to 8, the way it's set as the crossover. So there's a possibility that the United States, best case scenario, gets all the way to the quarters. But now, worst case scenario is they lose to England, get a win or a draw in their third game, and don't even make it out of group stage.
What's the support like over there for the game, Dick? I mean, I know they've got a World Cup going there, but this tournament in particular, is there much sort of hype around it?
There is a sizable group of soccer fans in this country that really, really get into it. We had a friend of mine, we had him on my show yesterday, and he has traveled to the last 8 World Cups, and he has just gone, whether the United States has been in or not, and there are soccer fans in this country, but overall, general public, let's be honest, it's the 4th or 5th most popular sport in the country. Football's by far number 1, basketball's number 2, baseball's number 3, and then you could argue that hockey or soccer is number 4. So it certainly doesn't have the appeal that, I would say the appeal of the Olympic Games, but the Olympic Games are kind of trailing off as well. So this has really become an NFL-dominated country, and then people really pay attention to college football, too, at this time of the year when college football gets down to it.
Well, talking of football, what did you make of Patrick Mahomes and the Justin Herbert shootout the other day, and Mahomes coming out on top once again?
Once again, guys, I think one of the more impressive statistics in all of the NFL right now is that Patrick Mahomes on the road in division games is a perfect 14-0. I mean, that is unbelievable that he can be perfect on the road in division games. And his division has been up and down, but there has been years when the Raiders have popped. There's been years when the Chargers have popped. The Broncos have been bad for a few years. They really haven't had to worry about them too much. But, he gets the ball late in that game, And you've seen it so many times that you just expect him to do exactly what he did, and that's lead him, his team down the field and score a touchdown to win the game. And Justin Herbert ran out of time, didn't have enough time to answer. But I thought Justin Herbert played an exquisite game as well. They're just not as good a team overall as the Chiefs are.
Oh, we're just watching the Socceroos under siege here.
He's missed a soda there. The French have missed an soda.
Yeah, we're lucky to be just 2-1 down here heading into halftime. But, you gave us the Chargers at the plus, so that did salute at least, Dick, for us. San Francisco, 38-10 against Arizona in Mexico, and showed why they're fourth favourites to win the Super Bowl with that good performance yesterday.
And they should be, guys. This San Francisco team is now healthy. They're playing outstanding football. They are going to win the NFC West. My Seahawks are going to have to fight, even though they're tied right now with San Francisco. I'd be very surprised if they could match San Francisco punch for punch over the last seven games of the season. I still think the Seahawks can very much finish in a wild card spot. But, you know, San Francisco looks like a team that's going to end up probably winning about 11 or 12 games and winning that division by at least a game, if not two games. And they are alive. I would call them right now, honestly, guys, I'd call them the favorite to go to the Super Bowl out of the NFC. I think they're better than Philadelphia. I think they're better than Dallas. They're healthy now. I think right now, if I were to have to bank on an NFC championship game, it would be San Francisco, probably against Philadelphia. Dallas has looked very impressive. Looked very impressive in their win, rather, over the Vikings coming back from that loss at Green Bay. But we're starting to see now an upper tier in the NFC, and San Francisco might very well be at the head of it.
What do you think is going to happen with Jimmy Garoppolo then, Dick? Because I know, you look around the league, a lot of teams desperately need a quarterback, and decent teams. You look at the New York Jets, and they lost that game to New England in just unbelievable circumstances, 10-3. If they had a quarterback, they'd be a really good team.
They would, and Jimmy Garoppolo would be a perfect fit for a team like that. You don't want Jimmy to go to a team that has a lot of offensive weapons but has trouble on defense, because Jimmy's not a high volume quarterback. Jimmy does his best work when he throws 22 to 28 passes, 30 at the very, very most. He's efficient. Like you saw last night, I believe off the top of my head, I think he was 21 of 29 and four touchdowns. I mean, that's a perfect Jimmy Garoppolo game. So you want him to go to one of those teams like the Jets, like the New York Giants. I think either one of the two New York teams would be and I think he could handle that too, because Jimmy's got some swagger to him. He's kind of that GQ guy. Some guys can't handle the New York nightlife. I think Jimmy fits well, perfectly in with that New York life. So I think that's probably where he would go. I'd love to see him get out of the division. As a Seahawk fan, guys, I thought San Francisco was idiotic not only to just draft Trey Lance, but to trade up, give up draft capital to trade up to get Trey Lance, because I'm looking at that team and I'm thinking, what is wrong with Jimmy Garoppolo? All he does is get you the NFC Championship game two of the last 3 years, and if it wasn't for a dropped interception by San Francisco late in that Rams game last year, Jimmy would have gotten you to the Super Bowl in two of the last 3 years. Quarterback is not the Niners' problem.
Hey, just on that then, Dick, just if Garoppolo was able to take him to the Super Bowl and win, what do they do? Do they look then at moving Lance on, or do they stick with Jimmy?
If he goes and wins, I don't know how you can't sign him back. I mean, I just don't know how. The problem with Trey Lance and getting value for him is he's injured. And so you never know. You don't want to trade up and draft a quarterback at the top of the first round and then end up trading him later, you know, 2 years down the road for 65 cents on the dollar. And that's what they probably would have to do with Trey Lance. So I think if Jimmy takes him to a good season but they lose in the playoffs, I think they just hand the keys to Trey Lance next year, provided Trey Lance is fully healthy. I mean, you never know how a mobile quarterback is going to come back from an injury like that. But they seem hell-bent on getting rid of Jimmy at some point. I don't understand it, but it's fine with me because they're our number one rivals in the division.
Dick, what about in the NBA, buddy? Is Ben Simmons turning a corner?
He is turning a corner, guys. I mean, there's no question about that. How long that corner will be turned before he hits another speed bump, that is the question. But over the last three games, he is playing Ben Simmons basketball. Now, how's he going to handle it tonight?
He is in Philadelphia tonight. How do you think the Philadelphia 76er fans are going to treat Ben Simmons? He was even asked the question in a press conference yesterday, and the reporter got the question out, and he started laughing before he could get all the question out. When the question was, how do you think you're going to be received? Do you think there's been enough time that has gone by for Philadelphia to kind of, you know, ease up on you? And as he said that, he started laughing, and then Ben started laughing. He's like, it's Philadelphia. What do you think? How do you think I'm going to get treated? He is going
to get Will they give
hammered.
It to him, though, Dick?
They will give it to him. They will absolutely give it to him. It is Philadelphia.
So
it is
good.
The hardest core sports city in the entire United States of America.
Oh, my God.
And I don't even know if there's a close second. I mean, New York fans would want to say they're as hardcore as Philadelphia. I don't think so. I think Philadelphia is number one. They take joy and pride of they kill their own players, let alone opposing players. So, yeah, he is going to have it. And my question is Ben Simmons mentally tough enough to handle that and stick it in the 76er fans' face by putting up a triple-double tonight, or is he going to succumb to that pressure? That is going to be the pressing question. I can't wait to see how Ben Simmons, A, is greeted tonight, and B, how he responds to that in the game.
And for our listeners, that game this morning, 11:30 on your Tab app. And just looking at the market, I couldn't understand why Brooklyn was such pronounced favourites. $1.32, Philadelphia $3.50. The line is Philadelphia +8. And that is because they got some serious injury concerns, Dick. No, Joel Embiid, James Harden, Tyrese Maxey, they've all got foot injuries. So
yeah, there's not a lot that Philadelphia can bring to the table tonight. So I think that spread is about right. But, I mean, I don't know. That's a lot of points the Nets are giving a lot of points for a team that has not been consistent at all. So, I mean, that spread almost indicates that the Nets are back and they're a championship-caliber team, and I certainly don't think they're playing like that right now.
Okay, then, before we go, we've got to get your best bets. And, of course, it's Thanksgiving in the States this week. Detroit, Buffalo, Dallas and the Giants, Minnesota, New England are your Thanksgiving games. But where are you looking this weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to go with one of those Thanksgiving Day games, guys. I'm going to go with the I'm going to kind of stick to the same game plan that I had last week with you guys and the Chargers and the Chiefs. I mean, that game plan was, hey, this is a divisional rivalry game between the Chargers and Chiefs last week. You take a look at those games, and they're always close. They're always hard fought. These teams know each other so well that a blowout just usually isn't in the cards, and that's what we saw. We saw a really close game where the Chiefs had to pull it out at the end. I see the same type of game at Dallas against the New York Giants. Divisional game. Both teams know each other well. First game of the season was very low scoring for the first three quarters. In fact, the Giants were ahead going into the fourth quarter of that game. Dallas is coming off a huge win where everybody's talking about them now as a Super Bowl team. I love betting against those type of teams. Against the team in the Giants that had a terrible loss to the Detroit Lions last week. So you're getting a lot of line value here, guys. I think this game should be 5, 6, maybe 6.5, 7 at the most. I'm getting 9.5. Give me the New York Giants at 9.5 against the Dallas Cowboys in Big D.
Okay. Any others? We're just going to stick with the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, that's my number one pick. I will say this, though. The Rams have been terrible.
Oh,
we know that.
Dreadful.
But they're getting 14.5 points against the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Rams still have a bit of a defense. So, you know, that would be my secondary pick. I just think particularly this year, big favorites in the NFL have done terribly against the spread. And the Chiefs really, you know, once, twice or three times a year, they'll blow somebody out. But usually it's going to be more of a game that they got to kind of scratch and claw their way to a win, kind of like they did against the Chargers. So my secondary game of the week would be, I mean, the Chiefs definitely beat the Rams. I have 14.5 points is too much.
Thanks so much, Dick.
All right, boys, we'll see if you can pull this thing out in the second half.
Oh, we're going to need something. Thanks, mate.
See you guys.